Measuring Success Right, the official podcast of the Marriott Student Review, a podcast for students by students, where we connect the leaders of tomorrow with the issues of today.
One of the issues in the workplace settings, or any settings, is that men and women define success differently.
Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Measuring Success Right. This week, we'll be revisiting an episode hosted by Andrea Cabrera back in January of 2019 with Susan Madsen.
Dr. Susan R. Madsen is considered one of the top global scholars and thought leaders on the topic of women in leadership. Through the years, she has written a host of Utah research and policy briefs and snapshots, reports and op-eds, and has published 6 books and hundreds of articles, chapters and reports. Susan is sought after as a speaker in local, national and international settings like Argentina, Croatia and England. She serves on many nonprofit community and educational boards and committees like United Way of Utah County and Better Days 2020. With her experience, she founded the Utah Women in Leadership Project in 2009 and has changed the lives of many Utah girls and women. Dr. Madsen received a bachelor's degree from BYU, master's from Portland State, and a doctorate from the University of Minnesota. She and her husband, Greg, are the proud parents of 4 adult children and 1 grandson. Susan is currently the Orrin R. Woodbury Professor of Leadership and Ethics in the Woodbury School of Business at Utah Valley University. Susan, welcome. We are so delighted to have you here today.
It's great to be here.
Great. And so, starting off really very quick, when I was looking into your work, your life's work, I noticed you're very involved in a lot of work with women.
Absolutely.
And as a culture, I think when we think of people that are involved in a lot of work with women, we automatically think of feminism.
Absolutely.
And so to start off, feminism, a lot of people don't really understand what it means. In reality, in one of your articles, you say it means it's basically supporting equal rights for women without elevating themselves at the expense of men. And so I'm very curious. You're a feminist because you believe that all people are entitled to this freedom. Yet in your article, that same article, you say you continue to struggle when using that term because of the baggage that comes along with it. So what is this baggage?
I think most people feel it. They hear that word and most people, even people that are feminists, we say it proudly, but so many people just feel, oh, it's people that just are out there with the picket signs or whatever, you know, trying to use their voice in different ways. And I've done that. I mean, I like that, doing that. But they think of the extremes.
Yes.
One end where people sometimes can be seen as irrational and just focused on one thing. When in reality, I did write an article particularly for a Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints audience. Okay. On defining what feminism means. And really, it is, if you really respect, if you feel like for the same background, for the same job, that people should be paid the same and those kinds of things, then you really are a feminist. So if you really care about society and equality and people's voices and people being respected, then you are a feminist. But I speak all over the state and other places as well, but particularly in Utah, I don't use that word too often. Mm-hmm. Because of the baggage that comes with it.
And so I'm curious, what is your go-to answer when you find yourself in a situation where you maybe would or wouldn't use that word? What do you say?
I don't even use that word. I speak globally, and I don't really use that word at all. I have other things. I talk about women's confidence and women's voice and preparing women to lead and influence and those kinds of things. And I don't really need to use that word, to be honest. And when I use the other words and it pulls people in, what my goal is to pull people into the conversation, help them see themselves. When they look at women leaders, when they're in this conversation with influential women, to see themselves in those women so that they can have hope and ambition to become a leader. And sometimes women don't even like that word.
Yeah.
So I use the word influence, to become influence, to become influential.
I love that.
More in your homes, in your communities, in your churches, in your PTAs, in your schools, whatever you choose. But having influence is being a leader.
And I love that. And so when I think of leadership, I think of, his name is Simon Sinek.
Yeah.
And he speaks a lot. He has a very, very popular TED Talk that talks about influential leadership. And he has a quote that says, "These are leaders, and there are leaders, and there are those who lead. Leadership holds a position of power or influence. Those who lead inspire us. Whether individuals or organizations, we follow those who lead not because we have to, but because we want to. We follow those who lead not for them, but for ourselves."
Yeah, that's
so
great.
Powerful. What do you make of that?
Oh, yeah. I teach leadership. That's what I do to women a lot, but to men as well in my business school. And one of the things I do is to help them in the first of the semester, help them really broaden their views of what leadership is. So I divide up lead, leading, leadership, leader, and actually, and you know, that's my goal, is for them to see themselves and prepare to be the leader that they can be, not a leader that they're trying exactly to become.
Yeah.
And appreciate the talents and gifts we have within each of us. So, and everyone can lead. And I have women, especially in the state of Utah, and students, even students here at BYU or UVU or other universities that say, "I want to be a leader, but I'm not. I remember one time one woman said, "You know, I really want to lead, but I don't feel like I can." And I'm like, didn't you just put on an event for like 200 or 300 people?
Wow.
And at your church? But that's not leadership. That's not what it looks like. And then you have to help them reframe that is moving. That is, you know, influencing.
Yeah,
that
we
is
just have
leading.
Very, very specific boundaries and boxes on what leadership means. Our immediate connotation of leadership is male, loud, very confident.
Yeah.
You have to take charge. And so...
And tall.
Yeah.
Tall male. Because, you know, the research is clear that if you're a man over 6 foot, especially over 6'2", you will most likely be a leader just because of your height.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
And so what do you tell those people? Yes, you try to help them reframe what leadership means. But I also think, and whenever we think of leadership, at least I know I do, for example, I always think, in like work settings or in very prominent positions. But I think it's also very important to be a leader in other areas of our lives.
Absolutely.
So what do you tell people? What's your perspective on
that? Well, I work with women a lot and mothers. And interestingly, there was a small study in the state a while back that interviewed women who are mothers and talked about leadership. And what they found is here with their sample, that if a woman was a mother, she didn't feel that she could lead as well. So there's an interesting perception of that. But in reality, leading a bunch of kids, especially teenagers, is true leadership. You use all the same things. You use influence.
Oh,
you use conflict resolution and management. You learn how to pick your battles. You learn how to influence. Oh my gosh, that's what you're doing. And persuasion.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things. So leadership, being a mother is being a leader. And church service and callings and communities, that's what I do. I try to help people see that leading and influence is in every place, and that they're doing it in their lives. And if they recognize that, they can gain more from that, and it will help energize them and give them confidence to even step up even more, to lead in more bold ways on things like public policy or an issue they want to. But a lot of women, as particularly here in the state of Utah, don't believe that they can or should be a leader.
Mm-hmm.
And I, to be honest, say that's crap. So I just say you should be a leader. And if it's in a church setting, I'll quote some either scriptures or prophets or different things like that. So, because we need, and it's getting stronger and stronger in terms of the advice and the, you know, that are coming out of the leaders of the LDS Church. But it's so fascinating.
I agree.
But once they start getting it, it's just so great for me to watch them because they get excited and they have confidence and they start moving forward. And once you have a little experience with and seeing that your voice matters, then you actually get confidence and you go to the next step. So once we unleash the women here in Utah even more, we're going to have things moving along. And interestingly, when you look at the research, and this will make sense to you, when you look at the research on men and women and what they care about, they're different.
And definitely, so
states that have less women in their state legislature tend to have less funding go to things like education, like healthcare, family issues, social programs, poverty.
Which are all very important, too.
Help with efforts on sexual assault and domestic violence and those things. So we have to have more women's voices in our communities, in our state, but nationally and globally. When you get into global stuff, there's a lot of work
of
we as women need to be doing.
And a lot of potential, too.
Absolutely.
And so I'm thinking here, envisioning you mentoring and educating women, helping them find their voice. What has been one of the most impactful situations where you've seen a woman really be able to find her voice? I'm sure, I mean, you help them, but I'm sure, you know, you've learned things yourself.
Well, I think the most rewarding, I've spoken around the state for the last decade in different places of the state and really started my work and still talk about this, but started on trying to get more women to understand and become motivated to go to college, stay in college, return to college, get those degrees, particularly at the bachelor's degree level. And the most rewarding and just that warms my heart. I do get awards that are visible and recognitions, and those are nice. I put them on my Vita. But the ones that warm my heart are when I get an email from someone. I got one recently from a single mother who said that she heard me speak 3 years ago, and she had before she got married, before she started having kids, she got married and just had 1 or 2 years of college. And she wrote to me after about 3 years. She said, I heard you speak 3 years ago. And I immediately went to Dixie State, that's where she was, and signed up and started in my semester. And she said, I just want you to know, and this was, I believe, in December, I just want you to know that I walked today in a graduation and my five kids were there.
I got my
bachelor's degree and I'm already signed up to start a master's at SUU. And that brings a few tears to my eyes, as you can see right now. I have a little tear coming down. And I get many of those. And those are the moments that just make, I work really hard. I work lots of hours. But those are the moments that say this is worth it. And her life has changed. Because I won't take all the credit, but because of that moment that she caught on to something, that encouragement that I was able to give. So those are my favorite.
Tender moments.
Yeah.
And I've loved being able to hear about, because me as a woman myself, knowing that we have a voice and hearing, coming together with other women that can see that as well is very empowering. But what would you also say to men? Because I feel this is also a very important thing for men to understand. What would you say to our men, our audience that's listening?
Well, actually, on Wednesday, I met with like 100 men to
really
talk about this.
Okay.
Yeah. Our last brief that came out through the Utah Women and Leadership Project, and it's not just for Utah men and women, it's actually one of the few studies that's been done nationally or globally on the topic. So our brief was called Male Allies, Strategies and Behaviors that Male Allies Use to Help Advance Women in the Workplace. And they're the same things for helping women in different settings, so politics, the state legislature, and so forth. So just a few days ago, we pulled together and partnered with Better Days 2020, which is a great partner, and had lots of folks come and listen. Not everybody was a man, but they were, and we told the results and fascinating stuff on how these men, I mean, with the Me Too movement, that's been great for women's voices.
Mm-hmm.
But some men are really like, what do I do with this? I'm a little nervous. I don't want to do things wrong. Good men. I was raised with six brothers. I'm the only daughter. But good men. But they need some tools and they're seeking for tools. So we met with them and had a great session on what our research said to actually help them know what are the things that really matter in the perception of men and women. What did women say that men do that really have made a difference in their lives? So we've got more like tools now with this research for men. And just talking about, I was just talking to some vice presidents yesterday at Utah Valley University, and they're like, let's have one here at Utah Valley University for our males on campus and so forth so that they can learn more.
And so
it's a great conversation. If women try and do all this, you know, we need to work with women because we need to strengthen our confidence and the way we look at things and our aspirations and all of that. And speaking of, you know, what we see as success, that's an interesting topic too. But if we just work with women and not have men in the conversation, we're not going to go as far as we really need to go to really help our communities and our state and our nation.
I agree. And so what do you think, deviating a little bit, talking a little more about that success that you mentioned, what do you think are the top three? If someone came to you and said, Susan, wow, I see everything you've done. You seem like a very successful person. Well, I want to do the same. What are some things that I can do to be able to achieve that success?
Well, my first is always going to be go to college and get your education and return to college. Because there's things, I know too much about this. I really know all the research around this. And some people say, oh, I'm fine without a degree. I've been fine all my life. But you don't know, because if you don't have that degree, there's a level. You can't see my hand right now, but I'm going up. There's a level that you just, your mind opens and you reach this potential that you didn't think you had to really influence and lead. And that's whatever that means to you. So the education is big. And all of my recommendations are really around awareness and education. Learn about kind of the differences between men and women and confidence. I do a whole workshop on that because it's very interesting to learn more about yourself and what was socialization and genetics and some different things like that. And go to some events where you learn and get in that conversation with others. And I think that the last thing of the three I would say is actually, in the whole process, think about others. Think about what I call tapping, and I'm tapping my shoulder right now. Other people just don't think about reaching, using their voices and stuff. And we, as women, if we tap the shoulder, or you know, metaphorically, of other women, that really lifts us and them together.
I love
that. So, and can I just say about the word success? I know the research on this that. One of the issues in the workplace settings or any settings is that men and women define success differently. And particularly in any workplace setting, men's view of success or ambition, I should say, is to climb that ladder that's really straight and goes up. But the research, not just in Utah, but around the world, is very specific that women's view of success is different. Women's view is, instead of up, it's more broad. And it includes success in the workplace, success with their kids and family, success in their community. And so all of that comes together. So sometimes in the workplace, especially men or people that, you know, don't have families, but men specifically, will think a woman doesn't care about success or she's not ambitious because she's not on that straight ladder going up. But in reality, we feel success when we have all parts of our lives feeling like we're contributing and feeling success. So that's an interesting thing. So if men in the workplace want more women in the workplace, they've got to understand how men and women think differently, right?
Educate themselves on how, on those differences.
Yeah.
I completely agree.
And it's such interesting stuff.
Yes.
For both men and women. And it helps you with your marriages, actually, to be honest, or your
win-win
partners or your boyfriends and girlfriends. It really does. Yeah. And it's fascinating.
And on that note, as you were saying this, I've I don't know if you've read this book. It's called The Law of Success by Napoleon Hill.
Yeah.
Phenomenal book. And I immediately thought of this quote. It says, "When a man really finds himself at the top of the ladder of success, he is never alone, because no man can climb to genuine success without taking others along with him."
That's perfect. That's such a great thing. But sometimes we forget that when we're on that ladder going up, and men tend to forget. And I know the research on this because I'm a scholar on women's leadership. Then women, like even when I go, I shouldn't probably say this, but my husband, even when we go to the store through the years to shop, when we go together, we don't always go together. My husband's always looking for food for himself, and I'm looking for food for the whole
family. Everyone.
When we pack, same thing. And some of that's just genetics, but it's a lot of upbringing, and I think some of those things are good. But we've got to help men. We've got to reach out. There's a lot of good men. There's some jerks out there, I have to say. And we've got reports, by the way, on all of the issues in terms of poverty and sexual assault and leadership for women at our website, utwomen.org, on all of these issues if you're interested. But men, there's so many men that want to get engaged and really learn and be mentored on how to understand a little bit better and react and help and lift as well.
Thank you so much. I've loved this conversation. I just want to end, to wrap this up, I would just like to ask a power phrase that you constantly turn to or that you would want to tell our audience before we end.
Well, I actually have a number of them I use, but one of them I've spoken, I think, 3 or 4 times this week in different settings. And there's one, I don't have it in front of me, but there's one by Margaret Mead that says, I'm trying to remember exactly what it says, but basically, you know, we all, it's a small group, you know, or an individual or small group of people can really change the world. And that's what has in the verse. So sometimes us as women specifically, and men too, we don't think our voice matters. We don't think our voice matters enough sometimes. But if we decide to do something and start pulling in a group and move forward, we can really change the world. And that's the only way that the world has been changed.
Amen. Thank you so much. Wise words. Thank you, Susan.
Thanks.
Make sure you subscribe to our podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or SoundCloud so you never miss an episode. Be a friend and tell a friend about Measuring Success Right.
This podcast is a project of the Marriott Student Review at Brigham Young University. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Marriott Student Review or online at marriottstudentreview.org.
The views and opinions expressed in this podcast do not necessarily reflect official policy or position of Brigham Young University or The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.